Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Let's continue with more of our phone calls. And Tom is up next in Asheville. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul. Hope you had a good weekend.
Thank you.
I was down in Auburn for the A-Day game.
Tell us about it.
And, it was a beautiful day. The campus and the town looked absolutely great. I mean, if I was in the trying to advertise Auburn for a place to go to, that would be a day to make your photos and your films. It was about 10, 15,000 people at the stadium. Everything was beautiful. I was very nice atmosphere and all that. The team, Tank is going to be their workhorse. That is for sure. He did quite well, but he's going to definitely need some help. And it looked like, and there were a couple of receivers there that looked like they were going to could develop, but it's definitely going to be a work in progress. I was looking at their roster that they were handing out. They got, out of the 95 players on the roster, you had 32 juniors and 19 seniors. So, you know, it looks like they've got a definite basis for upper-class leadership. So how that works out, we'll see. And the Mercer and San Jose State should be, gimmies, but Penn State will be the real test, I think, early on to see what their season is going to be like. I was taking my brother-in-law, who's in his 80s and not in good health, so for him this was a big day. And he wasn't real excited. He was thinking that maybe he's been following Auburn football for 50 years, and he said,
"Oh my!
If we do 6-6." If we do 6-6, it'll be a great year. I hope it'll be a little bit better than that. But one thing I found out, though, that was really kind of interesting is that Auburn is a dry stadium. And because I was asking for a beer, and the lady at the counter said, "Sir, we don't sell alcohol beverages here." I said, "Okay, this is the A-Day game. What about the regular season?" "Nope, not then either." And I said, "Oh, dear." It's going to be an interesting year there. Like I say, it was a fun day, and there were a lot of people there with their kids. And given the fact that the tickets were $10 a piece, you saw a lot of folks there who are not going to be able to afford the regular season, to include yours truly. So it was a fun day, but I think Coach Harsin and the crew has got some work to do. But like I say, they've got.
By the way, Tom, it's National Pet Day. What kind of dog do you have there?
I have a half Shih Tzu, half Lhasa. But his nickname is Ewok because that's what he looks like, and.
I've never had a Shih Tzu because I was always afraid I would talk about it on the air and mispronounce it.
That's a common failure, Paul. That can happen if you're not being very careful in your pronunciation. Now I have two Westies over here that are rescues from the Atlanta area. Now, for people who don't know what a Westie looks like, I just simply say, look on the black and white Scotch label, and that's the white dog. And if they say they don't know what black and white Scotch is, I'll say they're lying.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I understand dog talk, and this dog sounds rather hungry.
Could well be. Oman is nibbling at my toenail right now. So have a good week, Paul.
Thank you very much, Tom. Yeah, no, it is a national pet. I almost brought our dog, but I thought I'd wait for National Dog Day.
Sure.
That would be pretty funny to bring the dog up here.
Yeah. Why not?
I'm afraid he would fall asleep during some of the calls. Not this one, of course. Tom is up next. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Tom?
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Didn't we do this once? Oh, Tom, I am doing just great. Thank you.
Okay. I know Tennessee's number one in baseball, but how do you think Alabama's going to do an SEC tournament? And was Dave Magadan Alabama's best baseball player?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah, Alabama had a huge weekend. Alabama was not expected to do anything in baseball, and they had a huge weekend against Ole Miss. I don't know if that's more speaking of Ole Miss, because Ole Miss has hit the skids lately, but it's really been I know Coach – I know Greg Byrne made a change a couple years ago, and then he had to make another change, but ultimately it looks like he got it right. Tom, you take care of yourself. Al is up next in Memphis.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, buddy?
Al, we are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I got one comment. Maybe you can clarify this. You know, Tiger in his press conference at the Masters said he was just trying to compete. I know he's got the attitude that, you know, I can still compete with these guys. But being 23 strokes behind the leader is not competing. I'm sorry to say.
No.
I know he wants to, you know, play. But, you know, you get to a point where your mind says, hey, I can play, but my body won't let me.
Yeah, I'm just going to free associate here for a second, Al, because I don't know exactly what goes on in Tiger's mind. I'm going to take a wild guess. But I think any of us who have ever had some physical issue, surgery, rehab for a bad knee or bad back, have to find a point of reference. And I think Tiger Woods, on all those almost helpless days when he was trying to stand up and move his leg and then get back to where he could hold a golf club and then swing a golf
right.
club, I think he dreamed of getting to Augusta and to compete one more time. And then I think he realized a couple of months ago that he could do more than that. So I think he's accomplished the goal that got him back in some facsimile of health. But I think he's smart enough to know, and the people around him, that he's on borrowed time right now. He beat the odds Thursday morning.
There's no doubt.
I think you'll see him play sparingly. He mentioned that he'd play at St. Andrews, which I think is – but think about this. When you've been out of the – I mean, none of us can ever relate to being Tiger Woods, but even those who have had thousands of people – there's that famous story. You may have heard it, Al. I'll tell it. I'm in this nostalgic mood where – you remember Joe DiMaggio? He was dating. Did he marry Marilyn Monroe or not? I can't remember. I think he did.
No, he was dating her.
He was dating Marilyn Monroe. And they went on some USO tour, and they were in Japan or someplace. I really don't remember the story, but I remember this part of it. And there were 15 or 20,000 GIs cheering, and Marilyn afterwards said to Joe, "You have no idea. Do you have any idea what that was like to be cheered by that many people?" And Joe said, "Yes, I do. I know what it feels like." You know, very dryly. You're talking to Joe DiMaggio here.
And
I think with Tiger, I think that was like crack cocaine to his system. Feeling the adulation. And you saw him yesterday. Just, I've never seen Tiger happy after a 78.
No.
But I wonder how many more times can he do that?
I'm willing
to bet you he couldn't stand up today.
No. And you know, Friday's round, the crowds were 5 and 6 and 8 people deep. Saturday, you know, the crowds dropped off because Tiger was not in contention.
Al, I found myself yesterday at 11:30, 12 o'clock, checking on his whole body. I mean, I was just curious. I mean, I think we are all fixated on Tiger Woods, but you know, that, you know, whether he plays in the PGA, I doubt he will. To me, that's
I
too
doubt
soon.
He will too.
And
yeah,
it's not really a tournament so that he cares about. I mean, where
yeah,
is, but yeah, I think he's just going to have to rethink it because I don't I know a little bit about medicine, very little, but I can imagine the amount of medicine that he had to take to get him ready for that tournament.
You could tell he was in pain. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, he was grimacing.
I assume you play golf.
I do.
I used to love golf. I developed a back issue, which is not that big a deal. It's a herniated disc, which probably millions of people have. I quit playing golf because it just I felt it, and I rehabbed, and I started working out with the goal of playing golf again. That was 4 years ago, and I still haven't played because I don't want to go through that again. I mean, at some point I will, and the person that has helped me said, you're good to go. You don't have anything to worry about. But, you know, Tiger, what I had is a headache compared to what Tiger Woods is going through.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. All right, Paul. Well, I'll let you go, and I appreciate the call.
Thank you very much.
And,
by the way, we got four. It's still is it still light out?
Yeah.
Let's just scrap the rest of the show and go play golf.
Let's do it.
I'm in the mood. I got a green jacket, and let's go tee it up for a Power 9. We'll take a break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast,
and we welcome all of you back here late on a Monday. Mitch is up next.
Hello, Uncle Paul.
Mitch.
First off, I hate to contradict my elders, especially when they were alive during that time, but if my pop culture history is right, Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe were married around 1953, I think.
I thought they were, but the guy disagreed.
They were married for about a year and a half, if I'm correct.
Because, back then you just didn't date.
No, they were married.
Okay.
Now, I don't know that it was a happily married.
No, it was not, based on everything that I've heard.
But I think I know
by
my
the way, nobody was happily married to Marilyn Monroe for long.
I'm not getting involved in that.
She married the playwright Arthur Miller after that, and I think that one went down the tubes as well.
That is right. She did, didn't she?
Yeah. He was. You talk about a great playwright.
She did.
Marilyn just didn't marry some like chemistry teacher.
No.
You know, at the local high school. By the way, I bring that up, not to pick on chemistry teachers, but Mackenzie Scott, who was was that Steve Jobs' wife or
swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Oh, Jeff Bezos' first wife. I'm sorry. All these rich titans. Yeah. So she, Mackenzie Scott, who's one of the richest women in the world, obviously, because she was married to the richest guy in the
world.
Yeah,
she's got like $87 billion.
Yeah, she married. She left Jeff Bezos, who, well, actually, he left her, and she married a chemistry teacher at a local high school, which I think is really cool. You know, the chemistry teacher, everybody's talking about the high school. Where are you going for spring break? Well, you know, we're going to go to Myrtle Beach. You know, we're going to the mountains. You know, we're taking the kids to grandma's house. Where are you going, Jack? We're flying to, I think we're flying to Qatar. We're spending the week with the prince of us, whatever.
Well, his class will never want for butts and burners and beakers.
No, I mean, can you imagine that remember, did your school have like a food drive?
Or
you had the truck and everybody dropped off a can of corn.
I mean, yes.
Campbell's Soup just like dropped off the whole company there.
Let me make a quick comment, because I agree 100% with your assessment of Stetson Bennett.
Right.
He had a Hollywood story ending last year.
He did.
Okay, let's bring that to an even higher level. Peyton Manning, his last year with Denver, he didn't win the Super Bowl for the team, but he didn't lose the Super Bowl for the team.
Well, what's remembered is that his final game was a Super Bowl win.
Is that
And that is so hard to do. Just ask Tom Brady.
That is my point.
Hey, by the way, not to cut too close to home, but it wasn't – he couldn't do anything about it. But ask Trevor Lawrence. He wins the national championship against Alabama, and then – I mean, he still played for another one.
Blown out by LSU.
Yeah, and then the next year, I don't remember what his last game was, but he
– Ohio State.
Was that his last game? Yeah, okay, the Ohio State game. I mean, and by the way, nothing shameful about your 3 years being in the CFP, but it was still not as great as that night in Santa Clara.
But if Stetson comes back and he's part of a,
by the way, Trevor Lawrence was projected to be the best player in the country. Stetson Bennett was a four-string quarterback.
Oh, I agree, but right now he's sitting on top of the world.
Yeah, I mean, we will see at the end of this year whether we know what we're talking about or he does. But
that statue might be torn down.
Yeah, I felt like it was a good time to exit stage right.
Yes,
I know.
When
I
he
would.
Was worth some money.
I mean, if I ever had a game, if I ever had a something, I mean, I'd walk out here in the middle of the show and say,
"See ya."
If I ever had the perfect show, which I know we never will.
I think you have one almost every night.
No, not perfect.
Well, and there's nobody perfect, but you have it as close to perfect.
Well, it's not good enough. I mean, we aim to be better. That is the goal here. Thank you very much for the call. BT is up next in Birmingham.
Try BT, but that's good enough.
BT, what does that stand for?
No, BP. My
VT?
Company, British Petroleum.
Oh, British. Yeah. Oh, BP. I'm so sorry. Everyone knows what BP stands for.
Right.
Especially
right.
If you're in the oil business.
Hey, yeah. So, well, I'm not, but I wish I was.
Yeah.
But actually, I was going to comment on your earlier, seemed like conjecture about a 30-30 on Logan Young.
Right.
You said something about it gives me a good idea. And I wanted to call you and tell you, do you know how many graves you would have to dig up in that 30 for 30?
I know I can think of two to start with.
Well, I can think of probably 20.
Yeah.
But I wanted to tell you one quick story about the only time I ever met Logan Young. It was during the Shula days, and my son was 12 years old, and I had a three or four seats in a skybox at Bryant Denny. And we were up there in the box, you know, tooling around, eating good food, drinking good stuff. Not my son. But the coach from Oklahoma, Barry Switzer.
Oh, my.
was in the box. And so my son, like, just zooms in on him because he sees that Super Bowl ring and a national championship ring. And he's just tugging on me. Who is that? I, of course, I knew Coach Switzer, not personally, but I knew who he was. And I said, well, that's Coach Switzer. He used to coach at Oklahoma. And it, oh, can, will you take me over there? And so he was standing there most of the evening in a little group with basically one other gentleman. And so I take my son up there. Can I see it? And Coach Switzer is so nice and shows him his rings and everything. And I shake his hand, and I told him who me and my son were. Well, the other gentleman standing beside us stuck my hand out and said, hey, I'm BP. And he said, hey, BP, I'm Logan Young.
Ooh.
My bottom jar of my it hit the floor. I mean, I'd never met him. I mean, I'd heard everything about him. But it was so hilarious, and he was so nice to my kid. And then, you know, next thing I know, probably 5 years later, he's dead in a fall from the with a salad,
you know,
going
BP,
down the steps.
And yeah, to say the least, I knew him pretty well. I mean, Logan Young was just, I mean, he got a bad rep because of everything that went on. He later went to, I mean, he was on, he was convicted, was he not, of those federal charges?
I think he was. Didn't you testify in that trial?
Yeah, well, I testified in so many cases back then. I'm trying to remember which one was which. But yeah, but he was deep down. He was. I mean, I don't want to say he was harmless because, but he was a really. I mean, he just loved Alabama. It all started with Coach Bryant. His father knew Coach Bryant. Somehow, Coach Bryant almost became his second father. And
right.
when he was out there trying to get players to go to Alabama, he didn't really view it. He just viewed it as I'm keeping that guy from going to Tennessee. Or Ole Miss.
You're right.
But back then, I've told this story at various times, but the Tennessee guy and the Ole Miss guy and the Arkansas guy and the Alabama guy, they'd all be at dinner in Memphis, and they were friends. They would
right.
brag to each other, hey, I bought that kid right out from under your nose. It wasn't.
That's pre-NIL.
It wasn't cruel, and it wasn't like we have today. It was a gentlemanly way of corrupting college football.
No, you're right. You're right.
If
my son, if you were to ask him today, who is Logan Young, he wouldn't have a clue, but he would say, I remember that guy with those big rings.
Yeah. Having said that, Logan Young almost killed me one day in the Vanderbilt press box, which I think he was a graduate of. It was right in the middle of all that. I mean, he was a little, he was into that a little bit, but fortunately he calmed down before he attempted to throw me out the window. But most of the time he was really a great guy. And, Coach Bryant would go to Vegas with him. And I have so many people I know.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to paint a fairy tale of a guy that a lot of people despise and blame for the demise of Alabama. I'm just simply saying, in his world, he didn't really view it as wrong.
No.
And what he did back then is legal today.
Well, I got the feeling with him and Coach Switzer, it's not like he didn't send a few paper bags to get some players to go to Oklahoma.
Oh, my
as
God.
Well.
But BP, here's the biggest story around Logan was that the story came out in the Memphis paper, and I think it was 2000 or 2001 or somewhere in there, that Logan Young had paid $200,000 to get
right.
Albert Means to go to Alabama over Tennessee and Memphis and Ole Miss and all these schools. And I'll never forget the
right.
I mean, we're running. I mean, it's like the end of the world. Alabama's accused of buying a player for $200,000. And I had two different guys, both of whom had represented Logan Young. And you've heard both of them on our show before.
Right.
And they both called me the next day and said, be careful. I said, what do you mean? They've got Logan dead to rights. They said, no, no, they don't. I said, yes, they do. He said, Let me tell you something about Logan Young. He's the cheapest SOB you've ever met. He would never spend that kind of money on a player. We're coming back with much more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we still have time for you to get in here, so if you want to give us a ring, we can take your call pretty quickly. John is up next. Hello, John.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little Tiger.
Sure.
I know he was 23 back, but we, most of us would have expected that. You know, the golf guys are playing, guys that know the game a little bit. But for him to walk for 4 days at Augusta with him up and down hills, regardless of his score, and I got one more thing too, Paul. That was very, very impressive. I don't care who you are in any sport. That was very, very impressive. Your thoughts?
Completely. Listen, I didn't think he'd make the cut because I just didn't think – I thought the wear and tear would get to him, and he more than made the cut. He was in contention for 2 days with the greatest golfers in the world. That's spectacular.
Yes, it is. And you won't see him in any of the non-major tournaments. I just don't see that. But we all know St. Andrews is his favorite. And, Paul, this is my opinion, obviously, but I think he wants to maybe compete, you know, in the last of the majors, maybe for a swan song, Paul, maybe to say, you know, say goodbye to the fans, you know, in the majors, Tom. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. What he showed this weekend is that he is capable. Now, this is a guy that already had one of the most amazing, well, maybe the most amazing comeback in the history of golf, coming back from everything that he has done to win the Tour and then the Masters. To say that, I mean, those are two major tournaments, as you well know. I don't think he's ready to walk away because, you know, in golf, it's never really over. I mean, Nicklaus at 58 was two shots out of the lead on the third or fourth round of the Masters. So, Tom Watson nearly won the British Open at 60. Now both of them were in far better physical condition. But you don't know. I don't think anyone knows, especially him. I think he's already surprised everyone. And now he's got to figure out. He knows he's not going to be a regular golfer anymore. He knew that already, even before the accident.
Right. Well, you'd probably be right about that, Paul. I'd like to see him play a few more tours.
Well, I think what he realizes, John, is how important. Yeah, I know it sounds cliche, but the greatest of in any field, they have it told to them, but they're not cognizant of the fan. I don't think you know until it's not there, and in Tiger's case, he found out. He's gone for 15 months. Nobody really saw him. He played in one tournament with his son. And, you know, Tom Brady came back after 5 weeks. Come on. It's hard to walk away. I mean, I don't think any of us can really, think about it comparatively, but just think about something that you love, whether you played high school football or college football or played on your company softball team. I mean, this is, competition is the same at any level. And suddenly you're out there with all these fans. And I mean, at Tiger's peak, when he was winning, seven or eight tournaments in a row, the fan adulation was never that extreme. I mean, he had his fans, but there were detractors. There aren't any detractors anymore. I mean, maybe a pocket full of people, but it was remarkable. I'm glad you you called. Thank you very, very much for that. How about Steve, who is up next? Hello, Steve.
I'm going to echo the same thing that caller just said, and the caller who said Tiger did not compete. That Masters, in my opinion, is the Daytona 500, the Super Bowl, the Indy 500.
Sure.
It's everybody that played in that tournament and made the field competed. I guess the fellow felt like he needed to point out that Tiger didn't compete for the win, but he definitely competed, and he put forth more effort to get there and to do what he did than probably anybody else did. But anyway, every single player on that tour that was in that tournament and made the field competed. Some of the ones that didn't make the field competed. And so I don't get the I just don't get that somebody trying to point out that Tiger didn't compete.
I agree with you, Steve. And you know, he competed at a very high level. That round on Thursday will go down as one of the most spectacular rounds of his life. And that includes a guy that's won 15 major championships and has probably finished in the top three another 70 times. So, that's absurd to say. I think sometimes you have to understand the game a little bit to understand what he did, and you clearly do.
Well, I've only played it enough to learn a little bit about it, but I don't really know anything about it. But I know somebody that's competing when I see it.
Well,
and
you're
I know
100%
somebody
correct about it. Hey, thank you very much for your call. Let's continue with Reed, who is in Kansas. Reed, what are you up to on this Monday afternoon?
So if you hear the noise in the background, I'm just getting back from a track meet today.
Oh, well, how'd it go?
So I kind of wanted to tell you about it. Here. Huh?
Tell us about it.
What?
Here.
Well, I was in hurdles, 4x1, 4x4, and the 200. And
wow.
I got second place in hurdles. And I believe we got third place in the 4x4.
Well, that's fantastic. Hurdles are not easy for anyone who's ever, number one, getting over the hurdles, but running at a very fast pace. What kind of competition was it?
It was like a league track meet.
Well, that's fantastic. Reed, I'm sure you're very proud.
Yeah. So on our hurdles, we were actually, and during practice, we were practicing on like high school ones, so it kind of got easier for us in junior high.
So what grade are you in?
Six.
Well, that is fantastic.
Yep.
Well, you stay with it. I love track. Growing up, it was one of my favorite sports to follow, and competing in it was somewhat laughable, but I still love it. Hey, thank you very much. We're up against the break. Congratulations to Reed in Kansas. How about that? 4x100, 4x400. We are coming back with much more.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Back here on a Monday afternoon. You feeling good?
I'm always feeling good. How you doing?
Jerome is next.
I'm always feeling good. How you doing?
Jerome, we are doing great. It's been just a marvelous couple of hours here with the family.
Yeah, whatever, man. I don't hear that damn fool. Hey, listen. You told me, man, I heard you say a while ago, it's hard to walk away from something you love. Where did you get that from?
I read it in a book somewhere.
Yeah, you better stop reading that damn foolish stuff. Cause listen, you tell me some chemist mad or chemist mad, some lady worth $80 billion, $80 million. How much was it?
The chemistry teacher, he's McKenzie's.
He wasn't worth nothing. How much was the lady married?
Oh, she's worth probably $50 to $100 billion, depending on the stock market that day.
Hey, listen, Fireball, listen. Man, look, Paul, when I woke up, I would have passed out. You hear me? I'd have passed out and hit the float.
If his wife is going, hey, do you mind running up to the drugstore? He's saying, yes, ma'am.
Listen to me, Paul. She ain't got to do nothing, man. You hear me? She probably wouldn't even have to walk no more, Paul. I carry my damn bag the rest of my life.
Jerome, what would you do? You walked into a couple of $1 billion. I mean, could you handle that?
Man, can I handle it? First thing, I'm going to walk out there in the middle of the road, Paul. I'm going to go this shit, look up to the heavens. I ain't looking for no damn UFO. I'm going to walk, look up to the heavens and say, thank you, Jesus. You hear me?
But Jerome, crying, I know I'm about to bring some touchy. I've talked to your lovely wife. There's no way you're walking away from her for a couple of $1 billion.
Man, listen to me, man. She's going to have to deal with the consequences, Paul. I'm going to give her a hand till I have a good day. You hear me? Because it's going to be a lot of issues. It'll be a lot of issues, Paul.
Well, you could say, you're getting a good payoff. I mean, of that $20 billion, I'll give you at least $5,000.
Man, Paul, listen, man, $80 billion. Man, I'm going to go damn crazy, Paul. You hear me? I'm already crazy.
None of us are ever going to see anything. What's the amount of money? What's the number that we could buy you for?
Right now, you give me $5 million, Paul. I call you every day, all day. You hear me?
I'll
wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3, 4,
Jerome,
5, 6.
Are you out of your mind? I mean, you realize how much money that is?
You ask me, what you think I'm going to do, tell you $500 or
$5,000? $5 million?
You asked ESPN for $5 million, didn't you?
That's not something I'll be discussing on this show anymore.
Well, I don't care about you discussing it. It's all in the paper. What you mean?
No, that was ridiculous.
And
nobody,
then listen, you're going to come out
that.
Here with some. Then, little Paul, look, you're going to come out here with some foolish talking about the reason why you stopped playing golf because you got a slip disc in your back.
That's
you
true.
Hear me?
That is 100% true.
And listen, at least Barkley's game is just bad. He admitted it. He don't even care. But you out here want to claim you got a damn slip disc.
Hey, let me say this about Barkley. I have played golf with Charles quite a few times. There was a time when he was really good.
Man, please.
No, I have seen Charles Barkley break 80. The problem with Barkley,
man,
he started listening to all these crazy
golf
professionals.
Hey, Paul, look, he might well stop spending money, man, because there ain't nothing in that motion there tell me he was ever good. You hear me?
And then,
you're going to get on the – then, look, what does Abel Meade and Logan Young got to do with damn 2022?
Well, it's just – we were just waxing poetic, that's all.
Yeah, you ain't got nothing else to wax about, huh? You can find other stuff to wax about.
You just don't want to hear about those days because Alabama got busted by the NCAA twice in about 5 years. Your program was almost put out of business.
Well, you know what? You know what? That's a good thing.
You remember. You've been listening to the show a long time. You remember the night when the guy from the NCAA committee said Alabama was staring down the barrel of a gun. We almost gave them the death penalty.
Yeah, I remember that. I sure do. But you know what? I also remember when they hired Nick Saban in 2007, we rose up from the damn death penalty. Now college football looking down the damn barrel of a gun. You hear me? It's like a damn chicken with your damn head cut off.
Jerome, on this Holy Week of Good Friday and Easter, I mean, there's some connotation there that I'm not sure I understood when you said Nick Saban rose up.
Yeah, he wrote. Well, you know what, Father? Let's don't go there now.
Okay.
You hear me? Let's leave that little bitch there. You try to read into too much, man. You hear me? Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Everybody know it. Y'all go out and
Jerome, let's be honest. That's exactly what you were suggesting on this holy of all holy weeks.
Listen, I'm not suggesting anything. You hear me? I remember walking up the street, Fine Bone, when I was a little boy. My mama was sitting up the church. My five or six sisters and brothers, we were walking up the damn street with an Easter speech. You hear me? I told her, I said, man, what am I going to do with this fool in here? She said, boy, you going to say this Easter speech, I'm going to whoop your tail. You hear me? So I had to say an Easter speech, sign, but I said it long enough.
You sound like you had a good mother. Jerome, I hate to do this.
You know
we are short on time. We will continue. By the way, speaking of Good Friday, which is Friday, of course, we will be. We have a visit with Archbishop Marino. Joseph Marino will be here on Friday, helping us celebrate Good Friday on this program in the most proper way possible. We are out of time. We'll see you tomorrow.